I want you to think back for a minute. For some of you, you're going to have to think way back. But I want you to think back to the first day that you learned to ride a bicycle. Or maybe for you, it was roller skates or a skateboard. You know the deal. You were riding around with training wheels on for a while, but this was the day that you were going to take the training wheels off. This is the day that you were going to try to learn to ride the bicycle all by yourself. And I want you to think for just a second about how scary that moment was. Maybe you were super awkward and uncoordinated like me, and it was on a skateboard or it was roller skates at the roller rink, and you're thinking to yourself, I know I'm going to fall. I know I'm going to skin my knee up. And just the fear of riding for the first time, roller skating, skateboarding for the first time can intimidate you. Y'all remember that day? My guess is you don't even remember the moment that this happened, but you got back on the bike 2 or 3 or 12 or 20 times. And at some point, you knew that I could still fall, but the fear of riding that bicycle or the fear of getting on a set of roller skates on a slick floor, who's the genius who created this, getting on roller skates and going around in a circle as fast as you can, the fear started to slip away. See, the truth is, just doing something over and over again, it'll make you get a little bit more better. It'll get you a little bit more practice. You get a little bit better at what you're doing. But something else happens at the same time. When you practice doing something over and over again, the fear of the unknown, the fear of falling, the fear of making a mistake starts to disappear. If you're new to our church, we want you to understand where this whole sermon is going today. Here it is in one statement for all of us to remember. The fear of doing something for the first time, it's going to be intimidating. Doesn't matter if it's riding a bicycle or if it's something really complex. It's natural for it to be scary. But once you do it a little bit more and a little bit more often, pretty soon, the fear starts to become a lot less intense. And this is also true of sharing your faith. True story. I'm going to leave this up on the screens. If you have a pen, go ahead and write that statement down because it's going to come back up again today. But here's the true story of the moment that somebody shared the gospel with me for the first time. I was 13 years old. I was living in an apartment complex in a suburb outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Before this moment, no one had really ever explained to me who Jesus was and what Jesus did for me. This is the first time anybody ever shared their faith with me. My next door neighbors were a young couple. They were newlyweds and they were just really kind to me. They took me into their apartment. They lived right across the hall from me in this apartment complex. They took me in and just treated me like a little brother. They always wanted to hang out, always wanted to do stuff with me. They were just cool people to hang around. And one night, I'll never forget this, they came across the hall, knocked on my door, and asked if they could sit down and talk to me. We had this little 3-4-seat dining room table right next to the kitchen. They sat down on one side of the table. I sat down on the other side of the table. And here's what I remember vividly. That couple was scared to death when they started to talk to me. In fact, I remember thinking to myself, what's wrong with these two? They're acting really weird right now. Why are they so weird? What's going on? And this couple basically did everything wrong. They stumbled all over themselves. They really just couldn't figure out what they were trying to say. But it was clear to me that they were really intimidated about this conversation. And also, it was clear that they loved me. And they cared deeply about what they were saying. When the conversation ended, they didn't even ask me to pray to receive Christ. I think they just wanted to run away as fast as they could. So they basically said, Jeff, if you understand what we were saying tonight, here's how you can surrender your soul to Jesus Christ. And then they left. Later on that night, I was laying in bed. I started thinking about what they said to me. I got up out of my bed and I knelt right by the side of my bed that night. And I surrendered my soul to Jesus Christ. And it radically, totally changed me. That couple was scared to death. I probably was the first person they have ever tried to share their faith with, and they were freaking out about it. And if you've been in the habit of sharing your faith a time or two, you have experienced the same kind of fear. I know you have, because I have. So today, what we're going to do for just a few moments is we're going to look at the scriptures and we're going to try to figure out, how do you handle the fear of learning to share your faith for the first time? We're in a sermon series called Reach Deeper. It's designed to tell us, how do you take 20 or 30 casual relationships that everybody has, you see them at the grocery store, you hang out with them in the break room at work, how do you take two or three of those 20 or 30 casual relationships, and how do you start to turn them into gospel friendships? How do you start to go deep with your faith with these two or three people? And if you're going to do this, you're going to experience what I experience, all of us experience. It's the fear of sharing your faith. Well, here's a few ways to handle that fear. If you're following along, would you write this down today? One of the first ways to do this is to frequently practice sharing your faith. You heard the statement. In fact, I know you know it. You just go ahead and finish it for me. Practice makes... Yeah, that's not right. Practice doesn't really make perfect, because what happens if you practice doing it wrong every time? You're just virtually guaranteeing that you're going to do it wrong again. That's another sermon for another day. Practice does, however, help you start to get more comfortable with whatever it is that you're doing. This is true of sports. This is true of riding a bicycle. This is true of sharing your faith. And the more that you practice it, the less intimidating it becomes. We're supposed to be regularly, faithfully telling people about our glorious God and what he's done for us, singing songs of praise to him on Sunday morning, and then daily sharing our faith. Psalm 96, if you have time today, go back and read verses 1 and 2. Psalm 96, verses 3 and 4 say this. Declare, this is speaking to God's people, declare God's glory among the nations. Declare his wondrous works among all peoples. And here's how, or here's why. For the Lord is great and highly praised. He is to be feared above all gods. If you go back and read verses 1 and 2, here's what you're going to read. In verse 1, Psalm chapter 96 is saying that we are supposed to sing songs, we're supposed to praise God, that we owe God our praise. In fact, Psalm 96 verse 1 says every nation on earth owes that to God. And then Psalm 96 verse 2 says this, we're supposed to be willing and frequently able to speak about God's salvation. Then it uses an interesting phrase, day by day or daily, be in the frequent habit of sharing your faith. So by the time that you get to verse 3, it only makes sense that the Bible is telling us today to declare his glory all over the world. There's some leadership that God is expecting of his people. Hey, you who know me, you who call yourself my followers, take what you know about me and give it away, share it with other people, declare it with people who don't know me. And then in verse 4, the Bible makes it very clear. Fears start to fall into place when they're placed in their proper perspective. You got a proper fear of God, then you don't fear other people or how the circumstances will turn out when you're sharing your faith for the first time. This is intimidating. Let's face it, all of us can get a little bit nervous when we start to develop a conversation with somebody, especially if it's somebody that you're really close to, because now there's a lot on the line, your relationship with them. And when you start to share your faith with them, it can get scary. But don't forget that you are being a faithful witness to the Lord. And the more frequently that you do this, the less scary, the less intimidating it becomes. Al Reed wrote a book, a great book, called Sharing Jesus Without Freaking Out. Basically, in this book, he says all of us freak out when we share Jesus. But then he said, can I tell you, this is Al Reed's opinion, of why Christianity in America is not growing today like it once grew. Here's a direct quote from Al Reed's book, Sharing Jesus Without Freaking Out. He said, a reason why we Christians haven't done such a great job of reaching America in recent years? Why haven't we handed off our faith to the next generation like generations before us? This is what he said. Because we have lost personal ownership for the mission. We've lost the personal ownership for the Great Commission. And if you're going to get comfortable to be able to share Jesus without freaking out, it's something that you just have to start practicing. You have to start doing it regularly. And if you'll do that, expect, this shouldn't come as a shock to you, expect that people would be willing to talk to you about spiritual things. If you weren't here over the last couple of weeks, in a sermon a few weeks ago, we said that people in our society are very spiritual. They're more than willing to talk to you about spiritual things. They're just going to come from a different belief system, a different background than you do. Here's what we mean. Very, very rarely will you ever meet somebody who doesn't want to have a conversation, won't even entertain the discussion about spiritual things. One of our challenges is to listen to people from the heart, to listen in such a way that they know we love them, that we care about them. And when we've listened to them like that, often they will listen to us as we share from our heart. It shouldn't surprise you that people are ready to have a spiritual conversation. But it did surprise some of Jesus' disciples. In fact, I don't think they were aware of just how willing people were to talk about faith. Back in Luke chapter 10, here's what the Bible says. Jesus sends out his disciples earlier in the book of Luke. He sends the 12 out first, and he asks them to go share their faith. Later on in Luke chapter 10, he sends all of the disciples out, 72 of them, the Bible tells us today, and they all go out and they all share their faith. This is what the Bible is inferring. There is so much ministry that needs to happen around you that no one man can do it, not even Jesus. So he sends all of his disciples out, and they go share their faith, and they come back amazed at the results. In fact, they want to tell Jesus just how awesome this was. Like Jesus didn't know. Like, you know, they're telling him something that he wasn't aware of. But this is their response when they come back to Jesus. Verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning." Like, duh. Of course they submit to you in my name. I have power over spiritual forces. I am going before you so that you have power over spiritual forces. Don't be surprised if the person that you're about to go talk to is more than ready to have a spiritual conversation, because God's already been working in this guy or this gal's heart for a long time and getting their heart ready for this conversation. Verse 19, "Look," Jesus says, "I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all of the powers of the enemy. Nothing at all will harm you." I know it's awesome what you're experiencing, Jesus is saying. But he wants to keep things into perspective. Here's what's really awesome. Verse 20. "However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you." Jesus is making a reference that we read clearly in Revelation chapter 20, the Lamb's Book of Life, the record of the names of all of God's people. "Rejoice rather that your names are written down in heaven." Yeah, it's awesome. And I'm going before you. My Holy Spirit is preparing the heart of the person that you're going to talk to. But keep this in mind. It's me that's doing the work in their heart, not really you. So don't be surprised. Don't be caught off guard when somebody really wants to have a spiritual conversation with you. Don't let that thing catch you off guard, because I'm going before you and I'm preparing hearts before you even start having the conversation. Third thing that I want us to see from the Bible today is you and I cannot change somebody else's heart. Except that's something only God can do. Who can change a leopard's spot? Who can melt a heart of stone. That's something that only Jesus can do. You can't do that. I can't do that. If I had a superpower, let me tell you what that superpower would be. This would be my superpower. I mean, it would be awesome to be super strong or super smart or super fast. It would be awesome to be super cool. I don't even know if that's a superpower, but it would be great if you had like super coolness. But if I could choose a superpower, none of those other things I don't think would really make a difference in heaven. This, however, would. If I could make somebody believe what I wanted them to believe, if I could make somebody's heart change, I would never get another night of sleep because I would spend all of my time changing somebody's heart. I can't do that. You can't do that. But Jesus can. In fact, he makes it very clear to us back in the book of Ezekiel just how much he can change somebody's heart. Ezekiel chapter 36 says it this way, "For I will take," this is God speaking and making some promises, "I will take from the nations and gather you from all of the countries, and I will bring you into your own land." Verse 25, "I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and all of your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove your," look at it on the screens, "your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh." And here's how I'm going to do this. Verse 27, "I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances." I want you to look at this verse for just a second. You have to understand what the book of Ezekiel is saying earlier in chapter 11. Because back in chapter 11, the book is saying, we have hard hearts. It's so hard that you and I need a heart transplant. I can't fix my heart. You can't fix your heart. Only God can do that. But God promises, Ezekiel chapter 11, to take a rock solid heart and turn it into a heart of flesh. But in Ezekiel chapter 18, the book makes it very clear why our hearts are so hard. It says, you started to chase after sin. You started to follow after foreign idols, and that hardened your heart. And now you need a new heart. You need a heart transplant. You put Ezekiel chapter 11 and Ezekiel chapter 18 together, and now it starts to make sense. My sin, your sin, the person that you're talking to, their sin has created a hardened, calloused heart. I can't change that. You can't change that. But God says, I can. In fact, I will change that in the hearts of my people. I will do open heart surgery on them. I will do something for them that they can't do for themselves, that you can't do for them. I'm going to give them a heart of flesh, a soft, tender heart, instead of a solid, calloused heart. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my spirit into them, and my Holy Spirit is going to start to work in them before you even go talk to them. And when you go talk to them, maybe for the first time, they're ready. They're ready to hear what you have to say. I learned this principle probably the most obvious way I learned this principle. I was on staff, pastor, helping to lead a church in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, in Hardin County, Kentucky, this rural church. And we were going door to door just trying to share our faith with folks with a bunch of rednecks in the rolling hills of Kentucky. And I went to this trailer park. No kidding. I had a team of people from church with me. We were going door to door sharing Jesus. I went to this trailer out in the mountains. It wasn't even a trailer park. It was just some trailer in the mountains with a bulldog in the front yard. I was taking my life in my hands just going to the front door. One of those trailers that had some handmade wooden stairs. You know what I'm talking about? So I go knock on the door. This redneck comes and answers the door. I start to share Jesus with him. I'm not exaggerating. He cusses me up one side and down the other and slams the door in my face. My nose is about an inch from the door when he slams it in my face. And everybody from that church that was with me was shocked at what they just heard. I was shocked. In fact, I really got offended. There was a little bit of Ranger Sergeant inside of me that I was thinking, I'm going to kick in this front door and we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. But I started to walk away thinking, I did something wrong. I said something wrong. I was disappointed. And then I had to be reminded by the Holy Spirit, Jeff, you can't change that man's heart. That's not your job. I change hearts. Your job is to just be faithful with the message. And I take care of what happens next. I needed to be reminded of that. I needed to remind the folks that were with me that I can't do anything to change another person's heart, but I can be faithful with the message and then just accept that it's up to God what happens next, which freed me up. From that moment forward, I have not been afraid of knocking on a redneck's door with a bulldog in the front yard. I got over that back in Kentucky years ago. But here's what I want you to remember. We'll just wrap up with this today. When you start to regularly share what you believe, it starts to become a lot less scary. I want you to think about it with me, what you're seeing on the screens. You're frequently practicing sharing your faith. You expect people to be willing to have conversations about faith. Maybe they don't come to Christ right away, but they're willing to talk to you about it. You accept the fact that, hey, I can't change somebody else's heart. And when you do this regularly, y'all are smart enough to figure this out. Do you see what we just did on the screens? Do you see the acrostic that's on the screens? When you do this regularly, the fear starts to fade. Because you're practicing, the fear starts to slip away, and it's not that intimidating anymore. A guy who did this a lot in the New Testament, the guy that we heard from just a few moments ago from Scripture, was the Apostle Paul. And here's what he says in Romans chapter 1. He says, I am eager to preach the gospel to those, or to you also who are in Rome. By this, he means, I'm eager to share what I believe. And here's why I'm eager. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. I've shared it with old and I've shared it with young and they have been transformed. I shared it with men and with women and they've been transformed. I've shared it first with the Jew and also with the Greek. Doesn't matter what country, what color of skin, the power of God is unleashed when I share the gospel. Verse 17, for it, the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Paul says, I need that gospel today as much as I needed it the day that Jesus changed me. You need it today. You need to be reminded that Jesus saves sinners as much today as the day that you became a Christian. And the person that's never heard it before, they need it. Paul did this a lot. Go back and read the book of Acts. Three separate times in the book of Acts, he tells people his story of what happened when he was on the road to Damascus. This is just something that he did regularly. He did it frequently. Let me tell you what happened to me while I was on the road. And what Jesus did for me, he can do for you too. This is the Apostle Paul putting the power of God on display for the world to see. Look, y'all, it's intimidating. I'm going to be honest with you. I still get intimidated from time to time. When I share my faith, I have to pray and calm myself down because my heart starts racing when I think about sharing my faith, especially with the people that are really close to me, because I know what's on the line. I know what's at stake here. And when I start to get scared, I have to remember, Jeff, it's not up to you what happens next. Just lovingly, graciously talk to people about what you believe and then leave the results in God's hands. One of my heroes in the faith, if he were physically able to be here today, he would be here. I would have invited him to be on stage. One of my heroes in the faith for almost 20 years now has been a retired oral surgeon from Birmingham, Alabama. His name is Dr. Bill Buck. I have never in my life, this is not an exaggeration, seen a man who is more comfortable and more willing and therefore more frequently sharing his faith than this man and his family. He does it so often, he does it so naturally that I sat back and I watched him, and as a layperson, I'm like, I'm amazed at the way that this guy is sharing his faith. It just naturally comes out of who he is and the way that he lives his life. And he's told me, Jeff, one of the reasons why I can do this today is because I had to learn a lesson. Here's the lesson I had to learn. I had to learn how to get over the fear of the sneer of the peer. I had to learn how to get over how somebody might view me if I start to share the gospel. Dr. Bill Buck would tell you, it took a while for me to get over that. But when I got over that fear, I started to get very comfortable with sharing my faith, and I started to do it a lot. He's a 90-year-old World War II veteran. I can't bring him to be with you today, but I can show you a video of him and how this man faithfully shares his faith to this day all over Birmingham, Alabama.
As a dentist in town, I'm a specialist. I used to worry about being a specialist if other people would send me patients when I became a fanatic for Christ. And God, in the quietness of my heart, said, where do your patients come from? They don't come from other dentists or physicians or people. They come from me. And if you'll put your reputation in my hands, I'll even make those rocks turn into patients if you need patients. That freed me up. You know, I could share. So as a guy that's not afraid of what we call the fear, the sneer, the peer. So I would try to share with the patients. And sometimes they'll pray, sometimes won't say, sometimes 2 years later. For example, I'll tell you a patient. Young lady came in with temporomandibular joint dysfunction syndrome. So I sat there and I said, let me tell you how I handle my stress. A lot of it's associated with stress. Would you like to know, Charmaine, how I handle stress? That was my introduction to the gospel with the patient. Yeah, sure. I surely would. And I said, okay. And I went over the four spiritual laws with her. And she said, thank you very much. And then I went home, told her husband, I thought I went to a doctor, but I went to a preacher. And then she threw it in a drawer. And I never heard from her again until 2 years later. She called me up. She said, I got that booklet out. I told my husband, it must be important if that doctor took enough time with me to share this little booklet. She prayed through it and prayed to receive Christ. Her husband did, and all the children, 2 years later. So, you know, you would have thought I'd a failure. You know, I'm not a preacher. I'm just a retired dentist. So that little booklet, I don't know how many millions of those have gone, given up. My son's still giving them out. He took over my practice. We learned how to gossip the gospel where we were, not just turn the conversation to spiritual things, but the conversation being spiritual things. That's what this booklet does. It takes a person to the point of commitment. Do it now. And so that's been my hobby, I guess you'd say, in life after becoming a Christian, to try to reach everybody that I've come in contact with through life. And all my family, I can look in now, and all my family trusted Christ. And so as an 85-year-old man, I've done the best I can to fulfill the Great Commission in the Bible Spirit. And that little booklet has been a real asset to me in life to do that.
He's a founding member of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. Theologically, he would be considered a Calvinist. And for all of you Calvinists in the room, I have never in my life met a man who practices sharing his faith more than Dr. Bill Buck. He told me that story about Charmaine. He said she came into my office, Jeff, and she was in pain. Her jaw was in great pain. She thought she needed surgery. I looked at her and I realized there's nothing wrong with this woman's jaw. She's been clenching her teeth so tight that her jaw is just sore from it. And it's pretty obvious it was the stress. So I gave her the real antidote to that problem. I sat down with her and I said, can I share with you how I handle stress? Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me and how he can do the same thing for you. You heard him say, she took this little four spiritual laws booklet home, threw it in a drawer, didn't want anything to do with it, and he thought, God, I failed you. And then 2 years later, he wasn't anywhere around. She took this booklet out. She read it. She became a Christian. Her husband started following Christ. Her family started following Christ. And it made such an impact on her, she went back to him 2 years later and said, I read that booklet and God changed my life. Because you were willing to sit down and to get over the fear of the sneer of the peer and share your faith with me. He would, if he were here today, he would tell you, sharing my faith is not something that I do. It's just a way of life. It's natural for me because I've done it so often, so frequently, that it's just become so comfortable for me that I do it regularly. And I have, no exaggeration, never met another person who shares their faith more comfortably and more often than that man does. I'm intimidated sometimes. I'm sure you're intimidated about the idea of really going deep and having a gospel conversation with somebody, taking one of those 20 or 30 casual friendships, casual acquaintances, and turning them into gospel friendships. If you'll start to do it regularly, just like riding a bicycle, the fear starts to go away. And by the way, chances are you're going to get a little bit better at it over time. And who knows, you, like that couple that shared Jesus with me, the first person that you talk to, you may feel like you stumbled all over yourself, but God may use it anyway to do a miracle in somebody's heart. If you're new to the way that we do church around here, Calvary says, don't just come to church, hear from the Bible, and leave. Put what you heard into practice. We call this taking the next steps around here. If you're in our mobile app right now, scroll down that Today's Sermon page, and you're going to see these next steps about the middle of the way through that page. Or if you've got that paper worship guide, they're right here on paper in front of you, up on the screens. Maybe somebody in this room today needs to take the most important next step of your life. Maybe you come in here today and you've heard of Jesus, you've been to church a whole bunch, but you've really never surrendered, really never settled once and for all where you're going to spend eternity. Listen, don't play games with this. Don't bet eternity on I'll have another chance some other time. Maybe you won't. Today, in just a second, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to invite you to pray and to nail this down once and for all. Maybe the second line up on the screen represents you. Like, I've been really intimidated about this sermon series. I know I'm supposed to do it, but the very thought of it is making me anxious. I'm getting stressed out about sharing my faith, Jeff. And if that's you, we want to pray for you. The pastors and elders of our church want to love you and come alongside you and do whatever we can to help you. So just let us know who you are. For a number of you in this room, you're already trying to do this with two or three people. In fact, some of you have already let us know who those two or three people are, and we're proud of you. We want to encourage you. We want to pray for you. We want to just do whatever we can to help all of us in this room get comfortable sharing our faith. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads. Let me pray for you right now. And those of you in this room that just need to respond some way, whatever this response is, you're not making a commitment to me. You're not making a commitment to this church. This is between you and Jesus right now. So let's pray together. Father, I want to, before we do anything else, God, I want to lift up to you somebody in this room, maybe for the first time in their life, who need to surrender at the soul level. Maybe they've come to church before. Maybe they've been here a time or two, and they've been toying with the idea of what does it mean to follow Jesus. And today they feel your Holy Spirit really poking them in the chest right now and telling them, this is the moment. Right now is the time that I want you to nail this down. God, if you're moving in somebody's soul that way right now, would you cause them to surrender to you in the form of a simple prayer? You know this, God. There's no magic in these words, but if they're from the heart, you hear the prayer. You honor the prayer. You transform somebody just because of what's happening in their heart. So would you cause somebody right now to just simply say, God, I admit it. I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven on my own. That's why you had to send your son, Jesus. He had to leave heaven, had to come to earth. He lived the perfect life that I couldn't live. He died the terrible death on the cross that I deserve for my sins. And then 3 days later, he came out of the grave. That man who was dead is now alive. And I believe that he's with you in heaven. And right here, right now, God, I don't even understand all that this means. But right now, God, for the first time in my life, I'm getting real with you. And I want to surrender to you my soul, my future, whatever you ask of me, God, I'll give it. Today, I'm turning it all over to you. And Holy Spirit, if that prayer is real, you know that. And you God alone can put a new spirit, a new heart in somebody, turn a hard heart into a heart of flesh. But I also want to lift up to you, God, people in our room who may still be struggling a little bit with the fear of sharing their faith. And would you help them today when they leave out of here to know that they go in your spirit, that your spirit is going before them and preparing the conversations that you're already leading them to have. And help them to remember, I can't change a heart, they can't change a heart, but you can. And thank you, Father, for the people in our church who are faithfully trying to build some gospel friendships and just help make disciples in the Chattahoochee Valley and around the world. God, would you be blessed? Would you be glorified by the way that people respond today and take some next steps this morning? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.